Scripture this morning is from the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
New Testament scripture this morning is from the book of Romans, and it is chapter. I want to make sure I say the right chapter, 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The passage that Roger read this morning from the Old Testament is an unfulfilled prophecy, as far as I can see. I don't know anyone where you talk about a wolf shall lie down with a lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. I don't know anyone who keeps animals that would dare put a wolf with a lamb, or a leopard with a goat, with a calf and a lion together. I can't imagine that ever happening, and yet scriptures prophesy a day when it will. It's a vision of heaven, really, and I cite it quite often as evidence of heaven. If you've ever lost a pet and you know how heart-wrenching that can be, they become part of your life. I cite this as examples that there could be animals in the kingdom of God in heaven. I believe those preachers that are saying, oh, no, there's no animals in heaven. No. What are they? They don't know. Have you died and gone to heaven yet? And you know? Scripture here seems to indicate animals are a part of the kingdom of heaven. And so I use that and say, there's a chance your pet's there. And I hope so for the pets that we've lost. In 2013, 2012, we lost Duke. And we lost his sister Daisy last year. And it's sad to lose them like that. They were part of our household for over a decade. And actually, we decided that they had been born on the very day that I candidated for my first calling to ministry, when we calculated their birthdays. And so they stayed with us for a very long time. But this passage from Isaiah is not just a vision of animals in heaven. You can see very easily the symbolism of this. But this is not just animals, you know, aggressive wolves, passive lambs together, aggressive lions, passive calves together. This is probably something more about people, too. And so you think of the wolf and the lion, the leopard, the adder and the asp. You think about these things as aggressive animals that prey upon the naive lamb, the child of a goat, the calf, the nursing child. All these things are innocent and naive. And you can see that this is about more than just animals. This is people. The aggressive people and the naive people who are easily taken will somehow in the kingdom be able to be together so that there cannot be the pain and suffering that this world currently endures. Before I get going further about that, I'm going to just throw in something extra for free. Aggressive is not the same thing as assertive. There's nothing wrong with being assertive. It's important that people learn to find good ways, of healthy ways of communicating what their needs are. And Judy gave a perfect example of that. You're expressing your need in line. That's being assertive. However, not doing it in a nice way, that was aggressive, and you admit it, right? And it is interesting how the same set of words, depending on what kind of, you know, emphasis you put on it, how it can change from assertive to aggressive just that quickly. There would have been absolutely nothing wrong with the words she said, though. Absolutely nothing. With asserting yourself, that's healthy behavior. All right. That I just threw that in for free. You can take that or leave that. But getting back to aggressive people, those are people that are trying to do violence to others, trying to hurt them in some way. And then somehow in this kingdom that is envisioned by Isaiah, the aggressive will no longer prey upon the naive, and the naive will no longer be susceptible to exploitation. And you can see this further in Romans that I read this morning, the Jews and the Gentiles. These guys were like the Hatfields and McCoys for generations, feuding with one another, and this feud is over through Christ Jesus, Paul writes. That is settled. There's peace between these two different races, and perhaps one day peace between all the races. Years ago, I saw a bumper sticker that said, "If you want peace, work for justice." And I got to say, it confused me when I first read it. I didn't understand it. My first thought was, that's like saying, if you want salad, order a pizza. I don't understand how these two are related to one another. And I did not understand. But I do understand now that conflict, the roots of conflict, are generally real or perceived injustices. If you feel slighted, you're tempted to have conflict with somebody. If you feel like you've been mistreated, if you feel like somebody is a wolf to you, someone is aggressive to you, and you feel like something of a naive lamb, and you feel like they have preyed upon you, then you begin to feel that sense of injustice, and it does lead to conflict between the two, aggressive people and innocent people, back and forth, fighting one another. And yes, we do make two wrongs into a right, we think, in our mind. Well, let's give it back to them. Let's give them back what they gave us. Let's pay them back. It happens in my own heart, in my own mind. It happens in all of our hearts and minds. When we feel like we have been mistreated, we want to lash back. We want to get even. We want to pay them back for everything that they've done to us because we feel that would restore justice. And so it creates war. And now I see, all these years later, that bumper sticker. You can't really put much faith in a bumper sticker, but there's a lot of truth in that bumper sticker, properly understood. Because one of the sources of conflict is real or perceived injustices. But the scripture has an unfulfilled promise that there will be peace one day. That there's going to be peace one day. I don't see how it happens. This has to be of God. I don't see, in spite of everybody's efforts to make peace, I don't see our world getting more peaceful. I don't see our nation getting more peaceful right now. I don't see, on an interpersonal level, I don't see people getting more peaceful with one another right now. And I wonder, how could this happen? It clearly has to be of God. Only God can make it happen. Years ago in seminary, I was in a class, and Dr. Dale Allison read a quote from what I think was Dostoevsky, but I did not write it down. I wish I had had just a recorder to record what he wrote. I even went so far as to email him years later and say, "Hey, you remember me? I was in your class." And he did remember me. He has moved on. He's in Princeton Theological Seminary now. But he didn't have the exact quote either. He read this magical thing one day, and he didn't have the exact quote for me. And so this is what it sounded like to me that day, that what peace would be like, what maybe the fulfilled prophecy would be like, what maybe the end of the world will be like through the grace of Jesus Christ. It's as if everything that ever hurt you was not only stopped from hurting you, and the wounds that you had received had been healed, but in your mind you were somehow shown that the wrongs you had suffered had somehow been used for good, for others. And suddenly you realized that everything bad that had happened to you led to good. Everything that the enemy had intended for bad had caused the well-being of others. And suddenly in our bodies, in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts, there would be total healing of everything. Then there would be peace. How I wish I could find that quote. This is my quote. This is what it would take to really bring peace to the world. And as I said, I don't see this being a man-made invention. Not that God can't use people to make this happen. But I believe in this prophecy. I believe that one day the wolf will lie down with the lamb. I believe one day the leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will be together. The cow and the bear shall graze side by side. I believe that people will be able to play with snakes and not be afraid. I believe all these things will be fulfilled, and that it's impossible. It's impossible without God's intervention. I believe that this prophecy, though as yet unfulfilled, will be brought into fulfillment through the grace of Jesus Christ. And through him only, then there will be peace.